They say everyone has a book inside them, and often that's where it should stay. I really can't help but be aghast that the author wants you to pay. But we're just a pair of absolute bookends, you don't want to be like us. So if you want to read, pick some quality literature, rather than this dross.
Hello, welcome to Two Absolute Bookends, where we read books so bad you should burn them before reading. This is episode 35, Remembering Talia, and with me here this week, sitting down ready to die, is Louis.
Hello.
It's funny because you've been so ill.
Yeah.
This time, we're reading chapter 23 of The Way the Stars Fall Rebirth by Lewis Stockton. Support the author and all that jazz. Got a Patreon. He's always putting out new books. Yeah, I want to see him finish the frickin' trilogy. Go out and buy it. Okay, so to catch us up to where we were, Jack is running away from the Rakari, who are chasing him after his ridiculously abortive attempt to rescue slash assassinate Tona. And Tiberius spent the last chapter just kind of wandering around the galaxy until he found the wormhole. Then he went through it. And it's about as thrilling, and it was about as thrilling as it sounded, but we still talked about it for over an hour.
Yep.
Because we are insane.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, and this chapter is sort of the action-packed denouement of those two plots. Basically, Jack's trying to escape. He sees the fleet in front of him. That is to say, Jack sees Tiberius's fleet in front of him, and realizing that he's flanked on two sides, he's like, what do we do? And then he looks at Hollister, and Hollister looks at him, and he's like, remember Talia? And Jack's like, yes, I remember Talia. And then they do what they did on Talia, which, long story short, makes a mini sun which blasts them through Tiberius's line. He's just like, hey, what, where? And then, yeah, the Rakari fall on Tiberius, start ripping his fleet apart. Jack turns around and, because he's a pussy, decides to help. And he flies back in, and turns out he didn't have to run away from the Rakari, really, because he could just kind of fly there and completely wreck them with no real downside to his ship from what we see. But anyway, he lets Tiberius escape. Tiberius escapes back through the wormhole. Jack comes back through the wormhole, says, yo, don't, you know, let's go our separate ways because I'll kill you. And Tiberius is like, yeah, we'll let you leave because you saved us. And then they go away. And then we're left with the spooky hanging thing of, oh, but the Rakari are still out there. And because the time travel in this story is shit even by time traveling story standards, they have literally as much time as they want to come back through in this, in the present. Whenever the present is when they're going to come back through, apparently. But they can spend any amount of time in the past preparing. So, yeah, and that's how the chapter ends.
You're getting riled.
I think I started editorializing more than I usually do in my summaries there.
Just riled you up so much.
Yeah, pretty much. It's been a while. I've got a lot to get off my chest.
Yeah. Like you said, it's quite, unlike the other chapters, it is quite an eventful chapter. But it's quite like a comically over-eventful chapter. And
yeah,
just things that you just are just like unreal, like the whole, like you said, them just completely Shrekking the Rakari out of nowhere suddenly. But we'll get to that.
Yeah. Little byline for this week: make friends with your enemies, only to survive to stab them in the back. I mean, I'm guessing that's talking about Tiberius, because he survives and he's going to try and attack Jack again. I don't know, it feels only weirdly related to the actual chapter, though.
Yeah,
it's like,
also
in the
my
future.
One, in, I don't know about your book, but in my book, it's not really, like, centred.
No, it's centred in my one.
In
always
mine,
this
it goes
raises
on,
questions.
Yeah, it goes on to two lines, and it's just, like, yeah, not centred, so it's all aligned to the left.
Nope. Mine goes on to two lines, but it is centred.
I mean, it's centred on the page, but those two lines aren't centred for some reason, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, I think I know what you mean, but mine are also still all centred, actually,
right,
properly. But yeah, I think
so
I get what you mean.
The second line is shorter than the first, but it's not, like, centred to the first. It's not in the middle of the first line, yeah.
It's like in line with where the actually centered first line goes.
Yeah.
Right?
But, yeah. Weird.
Very weird.
Just, if it couldn't be weirder.
Yeah, every time he finds a new way to make these bylines weirdly wrong and different.
I mean,
we've like had so many variations.
Yeah, and also Friends is capital F for some reason in mine.
Maybe he likes watching the show.
Yeah, but then it would be capital F dot capital R dot.
Oh, come on. No one spells it that way when they're talking about it.
Not the diehard fans.
Yeah, are you like a Friends elitist fan? You know, I only ever spell it with the dots. please, Louis, this is a long chapter. We haven't even moved past the fucking byline.
The one where we read chapter 23.
See, that'd be a good retroactive title for this.
Yeah, it would.
So meta.
Yeah, so as you said, the chapter starts where the last one left off, as usually happens, but not always, but usually, with the Tranquility being pursued, or they're trying to get to a wormhole, aren't they, to escape, yeah. And they're being pursued by the Rikari and Tiberius.
Well, they're flying towards Tiberius because he's just come out of the wormhole.
Oh yeah.
So they're like, what are these ships ahead of us? I mean, we're assuming they're going to be angry because everyone hates us. Mm-hmm. We don't know who they are.
And yeah, they're really pushing the limits of their ship. They're trying to push the engines to 150%, apparently.
Mm. With random parts of it capitalized.
Yep. There's a lot. I think in this chapter, I don't know whether the author got like carried away in the action, but the sort of random capitalizations and just...
Yeah, I noticed they were worse than normal this chapter too. Yeah. It really is just all over the place.
And, yeah, there was a bit where it's like he's saying, like, mark this or something, but it's not the person mark, but the word processor obviously thought he was trying to type mark, the name. So it's like capital M. Yeah, this chapter is particularly bad. So much so that it's almost going to be boring going through each time we see one.
Yeah, I think we're only ever going to mention it again if it like makes something strangely hilarious moving forward. But just know that throughout it's peppered with random capitalizations where they do not belong. Like, raise barriers to bow. Bow. Bow chicka wow wow. That is to the bow, as in the bow of a ship.
Mm-hmm.
But just another example of the weird capitalization, which jumped out at me just as we were talking about it.
So apparently they know that they're being followed by the Rikari because of the sensor silhouettes being identical to the vessels in pursuit. Wait, what? The contacts to the port were obviously Rikari. Their sensor silhouettes were identical to the vessels in pursuit.
Okay, so... There's three batches of ships, actually.
Yes.
I get it now. So there's the Rikari who are behind them chasing them. Mm-hmm. There's Tiberius in front of them. And there's these ships to port, which are trying to intercept them, which are also Rikari.
And they can tell because of the sensor silhouettes.
Yeah, they can tell they're the same as the ships behind them.
I just imagine, like, the that bit in Austin Powers with the, like... In the first one, he's in like a spaceship that looks like a giant penis. Hey, look, it's a giant wang. Pay attention. I'm sorry, sir, but I just saw that thing that looks like a giant Willie Nelson. Classic.
Poor Mike Myers. He's dead now.
He's...
Not really, but his career is.
Yeah. Culturally, he's dead.
Yeah, ever since the Love Guru, everyone, like, mentally shot him in the head.
They were, like, prepping up a fourth Austin Powers, and then he did Love Guru, and they were just like, no.
Get out. They even recast Shrek.
Like, they set up an office ready for it and stuff, and, like, hired a few people, and then they just burnt it down to the ground.
Yeah, then they watch the Love Guru, and just, like, the guy in charge is like, shit, this is all ruined.
Kill everyone involved.
He must never speak of this.
And then shot himself with a revolver.
Mike Myers has a lot of blood on his hands for the Love Guru.
Ironic, really. Anyway... We've covered two paragraphs of this chapter, which is actually surprisingly long compared to the other chapters, not to put anyone off.
But yeah, like, this is the thing, like, here, they're apparently getting blasted on heavily by the Rikari fleet.
So much so that Hollister had to sit down.
That's amazing. You have to sit down just for a moment, though.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want you like besmirching Hollister's standing honor. You know, he had to take a seat, but just a little one, just a 5-second little sitty. You know, just to get his legs back in shape. Yeah. Then he was up there again. He was standing and bracing against the Sheikh, sir. But yeah, like, apparently, you know, despite what happens later, them getting blasted at is not a good time for them. The kinetic barriers were down 50%, but their guns are overheating and having to be fired slowly. And there's been a couple of breaches. How can the kinetic barriers still be up and there be breaches?
Yeah,
is what I want to know.
And I like how it's like conveniently the two sections where there are no crew. Somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to play devil's advocate, a lot of the ship might just be like cold storage areas and shit like that.
It's where they store the pies. Occupied.
Yeah, the Quam pie. Jack's at his window. No! More Quam pie banging on the porthole. Let me out. I just want to be with them. Trying to unhook the window. Like, no, sir, don't open that.
The humanity.
Why did they make these openable?
Damn you. Damn you all to hell.
You monsters. You blew it up. But yeah. And, I mean, again, to play devil's advocate, it seems to be, however the kinetic barriers work, that while it stops whatever the projection is, it still, like, makes the ship, you know, shake and shit. It still sends through some kind of force. Mm-hmm. You know, it just stops, like, any exploding thing. So I guess maybe it shook so hard that a room depressurized or something. But it still seems ridiculous. They can be like, our shields, you know, they're down to 50, but they're still up. But, you know, we've only had two hull breaches. So what the fuck?
Basically, the long and short of it is that they're in a bad way, it looks like, at the start of this.
Yeah.
The damage report is not good.
Yeah, and remember how they're coping now, and we'll contrast it later on in the chapter.
Yeah. And a lot of this comes back to the point you mentioned a few times, is how, just for the sake of letting the story work, how suddenly, like, OP this ship is, overpowered.
Yeah.
For anyone who
translates,
yeah. just how overpowered this ship is when it needs to be for it to work for the plot, which we'll come to later. So yeah, mm-hmm. it's under in a bad way, and then they get a communication signal from, well, what
Tiberius on the turmoil,
and this is where Jack notices that he has a large tear under one of his armpits, but has no time to change or repair it. I just, like, love that little detail.
That detail, yeah. It's like, what? I mean, one, how did he rip it?
Well, I'm imagining in that mad attempt to rescue Tona.
I guess.
Sliding down into those balconies. I'm surprised he's still got clothes on.
Yeah, like, I just realised that going back, the last that we hear from the Tranquility in my book, I think if I remember actually, was changed in your one, but it mentions that Jack gets rushed to the infirmary. But yeah, I think I remember this coming up, and that part of the last paragraph's cut for your one, so...
Yeah, so this is the first interaction between... Is it the first?
I think it must be. It must be. I'm sure it is.
Certainly the first visual interaction between Jack and Jack. No, I mean Tiberius.
Don't worry, you're not the only one who gets those mixed up.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is definitely the first interaction. The only other time they've been any time close is when Tiberius attacked the insurrectionist base. Mm-hmm. But Jack got out of there before Tiberius, like, turned up properly. So, yeah, this is the first time they've ever met.
And Jack was gobsmacked, is what the book says. We should have, like, a gobsmacked count. Because I think there's, like, 3 gobsmacks in this chapter.
Yeah, there's at least 2 on this page.
We've mentioned it many times, but there's just something weird about that use of, like, that colloquial use of, like, gobsmacked as a term.
Yeah, gobsmacked ass, stuff like that. But yeah, it does. It's like, yeah, like when people talk. Yeah, it's got like 2 ways to deal with it when you're going something far future. You either have to make up bullshit future kind of colloquialisms, which, if done wrong, always come off as ridiculously hokey. Or you have to kind of like be really quite formal, because it's just, yeah, when you put in sort of like 21st century UK mannerisms in like the space, like in 1,000 years from now, it is always a little bit jarring.
Yeah. So much so gobsmacked that even Hollister was turning back and forth between the screen and Jack. I just love that image of
him
being
like,
that's
a great image.
What? I need to sit down.
Just for a second.
And yet Tiberius is basically speaking to Jack, telling him that he is under arrest for treason against the Ilmarian Imperium, and that he needs to surrender, otherwise he will show him no mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tiberius rallies pretty quickly after realising he was looking at his doppelganger.
Yeah, I do like how quickly they're initially gobsmacked at the fact that they're literally talking to a clone of themselves, or whatever, and yet they're just like, oh, anyway, let's forget this. Like, I'd be like, hang on, let's deal with this, mm-hmm. for the moment. You're my exact double. That dog has a puffy tail. It's literally like that.
Not a nice Simpsons reference. You always have to get one in every episode.
Yeah.
Got it in early.
It's literally like that, though. It's like, how is this not made a bigger deal of?
Yeah, like, they are all past it after, like, 2 paragraphs.
Also, why is... I don't know if this matters, or I'm just being picky, but why is he the exact double of Jack, but why is Hollister not the exact double of Amelia?
It's still my head canon that she's like gender bent Hollister. She is in this universe, you know, a different sperm reached the egg, but you know, it's like the same parents.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't found any thing to back up that fanfic yet, though. So still all just in my head. But yeah, it is weird, you know. In a way, they shouldn't be too shocked, because they've already come across an alternate Fargus.
Mm.
But by the same token, it is kind of weird that... I don't know if it's weird or not that they've only come across 2 alternate people in this. I mean, I guess in the scheme of meeting people in the universe, that's already quite unlikely. You know, like, actually think going way back to, like, chapter 5 or whatever, it's pretty unlikely. Like, what are the odds that Fargus ends up as the captain of the same space station in this universe? Going all the way back. But whatever. But yeah, they got over it quickly. And Hollister speaks the obvious. That was you, Jack. He turned a little to say it.
Turning a little? What? What's that detail?
He turns away from the screen to be obvious.
Yeah. Like, why? I don't understand that detail. We didn't know before that he wasn't turned enough to talk to him. Like, and it's. I don't know if it's the same in your book, but it's like weirdly got commas around it. So the sentence is, "That was you, Jack." Hollister spoke, comma, turning a little, comma. He rarely called Jack by his first name. It's, I don't know.
It's a bit, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird.
But yeah, apparently he rarely calls Jack by his first name and usually uses the term captain or sir. I'm not mad enough to go back and confirm that or see whether that's just bullshit and he actually calls him Jack.
The thing is, even if he does call him Jack at some other point, that doesn't disprove the point that he usually does call him Captain or Sir.
Yeah.
Which is pretty, definitely the usual way that he addresses him in the book.
Hollister must have been shocked if he was using his first name.
Exactly. These 10 facts about alternate universe Jack will shock you. Apparently, Jack thinks he sounds like a real bastard.
Yeah, again.
I sounded like a right bastard, didn't I? Ooh, and he chuckled.
Yep, you know what that means.
Chuckle vision, chuckle, chuckle vision, copyright strike. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's Chuckle Vision. And you'll be happy to hear that aside from this chuckle, there is another one waiting for us in the future. That is 2 chuckles for chapter 23, and a beautiful set of 2 smirks to look forward to. This has been Chuckle Vision. Ciao. Anyway, where were we?
It'd be good to know what our running total is, actually, of chuckles. If you have that to hand.
Not a running total to hand. Yeah, exactly. I'd have to do some quicker maths than I'm willing to do. It's fine. You don't want to ruin it now. You want to see the grand total when we reach
30. I'm getting
30.
Ahead of myself. I'm exactly. So excited.
We don't want the running total of chuckles. We want it to be a shock at the end when we find out there's been like 50 chuckles in the book or something. We're not going to hit that. There's not been that many.
I like how Jack instantly thinks that the other guy is like his evil twin.
Maybe you're the evil twin, Jack.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not, but that's only because Tiberius has been written to be so one-dimensional. It's only by the like lowest of expectations and margins that you're not the evil one, Jack. I mean, just like to say that, and immediately he immediately was about to suggest them like firing on them under the flag of truce as like his next plan. Not at all the evil one.
Yeah, I don't understand this bit actually when it says, so just also worth mentioning that chuckle was a nervous chuckle.
Oh yeah. I don't know if I should mark it down slightly for that. It's not a powerful chuckle, but...
But yeah. It says, Jack chuckled nervously and was about to suggest they should have surrendered just to get past the fleet and catch them with their pants down. Again, another weird term. When they were hit once again by another volley. Oh, I see. That's not part of the state. Right. He was considering that, and then they get hit by a volley.
Yeah, getting hit by the volley wasn't part of the plan.
Yeah, that's what was confusing me. I thought they were going to like try and sneak through and then get hit.
Lol, pranked, got hit.
Right, that makes sense. But the kinetic barriers go down to 45% after that hit. So that volley took out 5%.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah.
It's definitely something, though.
They would only take a few more volleys before the kinetic barriers fell.
Yeah, that rate, like 9 more.
Yeah. Quick maths.
A few more.
Few.
Yeah, I'm willing to do that quick maths. And this is where Jack asks Hollister for suggestions. And do you know what? Hollister wants to know if he remembers Talia.
Smirking and looking down at Jack. I thought Jack would always want to be, look like...
No, that was Tiberius. Remember, that's how you could tell he was bad.
Ah, yeah.
Jack sits below below Hollister.
His smile grew just like Hollister's. That really made me laugh. Like just that image of him going from like neutral face to just like a creeping smile, a smirk across his lip.
Yeah, single. Bottom lip, unmoved, top lip, full smirk.
And Jack says, you sure this will work? Horace is simply nodding with the words, it worked, Italia, leaving his lips. I hate to be that guy.
Both of them.
I don't remember Talia.
You're not supposed to.
Right.
This is something from there. From the pre-story past, I believe, is the inference.
Okay, so that angers me more, because I thought I was just being retarded and had forgotten something, but that just makes this ridiculous that you're supposed to be like... Because when it's like, remember Talia, like, any suggestions? Remember Talia? No, I don't, actually. So what are you going to, like... If he'd been referencing, like, a previous fight earlier on in the book... It'd be like, but no.
I think you're taking this one too personally, to be honest.
No, I don't like this. If he's going to be like, remember Talia, and then for him to be like, oh, that's a good idea, let's do that. Well, how are we supposed to like relate to what that is? It might have been a horrible plan at the time in Talia. Was it a fight? Was it back when they were a transport ship and they were like transporting a table?
But god damn it, they got that table to they got that table to Fargus. He's sitting at there now. But yeah, it is kind of weird that we're not actually told what happened at Talia. We just kind of like have to piece together like what they did from what happens next. But
is Talia
we don't
a
have
place?
Any of the
is
story.
It a ship?
I mean, from saying it worked at Talia, I guess we're supposed to assume a place, but yeah.
Actually, it does bring some interesting questions, because this book has covered the whole time that they've been like a combat ship.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say that it definitely we're supposed to assume it happened prior to the story, you know, post transformation.
Yeah.
You know, because as you say, we have been with the Tranquility since through everything of significance as far as we can tell. That's definitely the implication that the author's trying to convey, that we've seen everything important since then.
Well, it's enough for Jack, because he just says, do it.
The it is capitalised.
Yep. Just do it. And then yeah. Hollis seems to do a lot of the work. I mean, we know Hollis is great.
MVP every match.
He basically just starts telling people on the ship what they need to do.
Yeah, he starts running the ship.
Yeah. So the plan basically seems like what they do is they... actually, we might as well just read it out. So the Tranquility floated forward as her engines cut out, followed by a blue and green mist emanating from vents all around the outside of the engines. Plasma was a byproduct of the power systems of the ship. This plasma was then sent to the engines and fired out the engine as a means of propulsion. For a minute, the plasma drifted behind them just before the torpedo was detonated within the plasma. So they had a torpedo ready to fire out the back of the ship. Having been launched at the same time the plasma had been expunged, the detonation was as bright as a supernova, blinding to the eyes and created a miniature star in the system for a whole arm. So I think the idea is basically they like eject this plasma at the same time as firing a torpedo, which creates a big bang.
Yeah, it creates a big explosion behind them, which pushes them forward to go really fast.
Yeah.
I have a couple of problems with this.
Okay.
Do you have any before I get into them?
You go, because I feel like it's triggered you.
So, I guess the first thing is, I know that they say that this took less than a minute. How many more times did they still get shot from either side? Because you'll remember, there's like three fleets chasing them down and shooting at them, you know, and they said that, you know, it'd only take a few more volleys for the kinetic barriers to fall. So did they just not get hit at all in this time, you know?
Yeah, because we do learn that the fleet that's attacking them is like six ships. No, that's how many are still alive.
I'm pretty sure we worked out, we heard last week that there was only like seven of them anyway, though, so those numbers don't add up, but we'll get to that in a bit.
But yeah, there is a lot of ships, like, pointed at them. You'd have thought some volleys would be happening.
Yeah.
Like, they're actively trying to... Although, are they? Because they're trying to capture them rather than kill them.
Well, the Rikari are trying to kill them.
That's true.
Tiberius is trying to... Yeah, disable the ship to capture it.
The Rikari sound like they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're just...
they're just shooting shit, wrecking it.
Do you think Yeah. Do you think they've got like a insect holster?
just clicking about.
Sitting down briefly. Smirking. Still.
Always smirking.
What's a Ricari chuckle?
I don't know.
And that's Ricari chuckle vision.
But yeah, so, and I like the idea that that an explosion powerful enough to blast them faster than, like, you know, so that they're moving at 2% of light speed on top of their normal speed from the explosion, which, you know, creates a miniature sun that lasts for an hour. The idea that wouldn't damage their ship. You know, even if their ship had, like, full kinetic barriers, you know.
Well, considering a micron of dust, the very start of the book.
Yeah, knocked out, like, 3% of their hull or whatever it was.
A fucking micron of dust, and this is a, you know, star.
You know, a tiny star, but, you know, still a star.
Bigger than a micron of dust.
Exploding and coming into life behind them. But that just, like, pushes them like a wave, apparently.
Well, yeah, the next part is, the blast that emanated from the plasma detonation was what the Tranquility needed. The blast hit the rear shields of the vessel and, much like a boat on the sea, pushed the vessel all the way into 0.2% of light speed, adding to the engines at 0.15.
Yeah, like... Mike, you see, this is like, while it's pretty preposterous in general, this is something that, you know, I would give a pass. I would give a pass if it had been written about in the right way. If they'd been like, you know, we're having to divert all of our energy to our rear shields just so we don't get completely shreked.
Yeah. Or we're gonna be fucked after this, but it will get us out of here.
Exactly, you know. It'll knock us basically past this into the wormhole, and we should have just enough, you know, engines to be able to move, but, you know, we are going to be in a fucking bad way after this.
What happened to their previous... I'm just probing thick here, but didn't they have to do something special to go through wormholes? Like, activate their...
Yeah, they have that warp drive, which is fitted to their ship, but, I mean... That's also poorly handled. I mean, it's just basically they seem to have it installed and they can just flick a switch on it right now. It's still not exactly clear what the warp drive is exactly.
It basically,
does.
It's given them the ability to go through wormholes and
yeah,
that's
basically.
Enough.
Yeah, and don't think about it. Like, it doesn't seem to mean they can go faster or anything. It just seems to mean they can travel through wormholes. So, whatever. But yeah, like, if they'd done that, and if they'd been like, you know, we can't fire our weapons, it's all of our energies to the shield at the back, you know, this is going to be tough. I'd be like, yeah, it's kind of dumb. I'd still be bitching about it for other things, but I'd be like, yeah, you know, whatever. But just the fact that it's fine, it has no effect on them, using an exploding sun as a means of propulsion is just fine on their ship. You know, if the max... You know, I'd imagine that moving an extra 0.2% of light would be enough to put the ship under enormous strains anyway, if it's only designed to go at 0.15% of light speed. You know, it wouldn't be in a good way after this, basically. But yeah, and another thing, the idea that, I mean, I know that the Tranquility is OP as hell, but, you know, apparently they did this in Talia when they were a transport ship. Yeah. You know, the same thing as well. So a transport ship is capable of making an explosion like a tiny sun. You could probably render a planet uninhabitable doing that, just with a transport ship. You know, you'd probably lose the transport ship in that case, but, you know, that's an immense amount of, like, kamikaze power that this ship has. Just, you know, which is apparently just, like, a space truck, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we can assume it was when they were a transport ship, because it talks about, you know, it needing the plasma from the power systems of the ship. So unless it's the same kind of power system, maybe it was. I mean, why are we trying to make sense of this? They fucking just make a miniature star which propels a ship. I guess we just got to take it at that face value. But I like this bit where, like, Jack, they're making their escape towards the wormhole, but then Jack has to, like, be classically overdramatic and, like, turn on the spot 180 degrees to, like, drift the wormhole just so that he can get, like, one last word in to Tiberius. Rather than just go through the fucking wormhole, he has to stop and, like, basically...
Yeah, like, do a proper skid 180 turn.
Yeah.
Because that's how space works.
Yeah, just suddenly turning and, like, drifting and then being like, hey, Tiberius, I hope you can survive the Rikari, because we're out of here. Why didn't he just get out there? It's like that, again, Austin Powers thing where he's like, I'm going to leave you... unsupervised with an inept guard and assume that everything goes okay.
It is the sporting thing to do, Louis, let's be honest.
Yeah. Like, just get out the fucking wormhole. Why do you need to turn and stop like that?
It mentions that this mini supernova is like blinding people and fucking up sensors. I wonder if that wouldn't that fuck up some of the Tranquility's sensors? Like, and then, I guess they could have preemptively, like, turned them all off and gone on to, like, blackout mode. But then they would have been, like, flying blind. They could have just, like, shot and, like, collided headfirst with one of Tiberius's ships that way. That's because they have no idea. It's like, well, this is the way we aimed. Let's hope nothing moves for the next 30 seconds.
It's like, yeah.
Exactly, that's what kills me. He's turning 180 degrees. He's now back looking at the fucking sun that's like...
blinding, yeah.
Blinding in front of him.
One more thing, my eyes.
He's there
close
with
the
like
blinds.
A pair of... I'm now imagining like Jack coming up on like the viewer with, like wearing those eclipse glasses.
Yeah.
And the best thing is that Tiberius can't even see it because he's been blinded. So there's all these people just like blindly staring at this screen.
Yeah, it's a good point actually. Like they just turn towards the thing that's blinding them. Yeah. Nice. And again, Tiberius has been caught with his pants down.
Yeah, so he uses it again, like his original like shifty plan of like lying to of surrendering then fucking them. But he caught his pants down in a different way. So many pants, they're all down.
So yeah, now Tiberius has to deal with the Rikari. Because I guess the Rikari just turned their attention to him.
Well, I guess it's more the fact that he's in between them and Jack, yeah. And they're pretty, like, omnicidal anyway. I get they probably would have just fucked him up if they came across him. Remember when their scout ship attacked his fleet before?
Yeah.
Just for no reason.
But it's definitely not good for Tiberius. I mean, he's heavily outnumbered and outgunned. Mm-hmm. And this is where we start getting... Actually, I think it happened earlier. We get a few moments where Tiberius is called Jack.
Yeah.
And it just fucking makes it so confusing because they're already like supposed to be these copies of each other. Just to add to the confusion, calling one of them the other one.
Yeah, it's definitely happened before in like the first chapter where Tiberius turned up as well.
Was introduced like sentences
into that
chapter. I remember
that really confused you. You did think that alternate universe Jack was also called Jack.
I think I remember thinking...
Tiberius or Jack?
I think I remember...
Wait, why is... No, you thought Jack was actually there.
I thought it was a flashback to when he was a child and these were his parents or something. And so I thought they were talking to Jack like their son. But no.
I've just remembered something. This is moving back in the chapter slightly, but it's kind of important. Like, I know you heard the fact that Jack's middle name is Tiberius as well, and there's like, oh, but for a nail, they switched around our names. So close, but so similar. My middle name is his first name and vice versa. That's from fucking Star Trek. Like, Captain Kirk's middle name is Tiberius, and I'm sure when he meets his doppelganger, the exact same thing happens. It's just like, oh, your name's Tiberius. They called me James.
All right, nerd. I wouldn't
know. It's just ripped it off from Star Trek. But yeah, you can continue now. That just kicked me in the nerd balls. I was like, you can't do that.
Can they do that? So yeah, Jack, the actual Jack, not fake Jack,
yeah,
is watching Tiberius get Shrek'd by the Rikari, and because Jack has to be the hero in every scenario, he basically wants to again turn 180 degrees and help Tiberius for whatever reason. Even though they've just done this like master plan to get as far away as possible from them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Does...
How quickly can this... I mean, I guess it's one of those things that can't really be answered, but how quickly can a ship just, like, turn on a dime in space? I don't know whether it'd be really easy or really hard. But no, that's just me.
But yeah, Jack's...
cogitating.
Jack says that even if they are part of an evil empire, they were just men and women following orders. Hollister is...
Just like Hollister.
Yeah. Hollister is confused at Jack. He always spoke his mind, even when he should not. Oh, we know Hollister.
Yeah.
He...
Stop being yourself.
Yeah. Be a yes man. That was what Jack liked about his best friend. But famously, Jack doesn't like it when Hollister's himself.
Yeah. Quite notably, never again.
There's some parts of Talia they don't talk about.
Yeah, it missed out the bit where Jack's face was like covered, like became horrified before it turned into the smile.
Yeah, he's like, remember Talia? Don't mention.
I thought we weren't going to talk about that. And oh yeah, how we escaped from the sex dungeon.
We had it. We had a few too many drinks. We agreed not to mention.
Oh shit!
Oh, the supernova thing, yeah.
Right. Of course, that was the memorable thing about Talia.
There's so much fan fiction potential here.
But yeah, I like the fact that he's aware that no one else on the ship thinks that this is a good idea. You know, Hollister says, but sir, they fired upon us. They tried to capture us. He voiced the opinion of all the bridge crew, so everyone in the room's looking at Jack like he's just fucking shat himself. It's like probably all the crew if they knew what was going off on the bridge.
I like the fact as well that there's people on the ship that have no idea that they're being chased by, like, Rikari and... Tiberius and are under like 40% barriers down and have just propelled themselves towards a wormhole at 0.2% light speed, and there's still like some cleaner guy like doon doo 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 cleaning up for the ship. Just like
I like the idea
alarms
that
blaring.
There's the Quam Pai chef. Jack's like, don't let him know. The stress ruins the pie.
Yeah.
You must keep him pure. I mean, I think what they're... I prefer your interpretation, but I think what they mean is they're just referring to him deciding to turn back and rescue them for his heroic boner reasons.
There's like a guy in his room, like, banging on the wall, keep it down in there.
Some of us are trying to sleep. It's just an alarm outside going,
he's got one of those, like, nightcaps on. Some...
Yeah, one of those old Victorian gowns.
Like Scrooge.
He's got a candle for some reason.
Well, based on some of the decor we've had described, it wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't be as out of place as it should be, all things considered. But yeah, Jack's rationale for this ludicrous... like choice of heroism over pragmatism is, I know, but there are innocent people on those ships under the command of a tyrannical fool. They are not to blame for their leaders. I wonder how many people on this ship can sympathise with that statement. Yeah. I will show them we are better, and maybe they will just leave us alone after this.
Pot kettle black sort of
comes to mind. Yeah. Innocent people under tyrannical fools. Really makes you think, doesn't it? But yeah, it's gotta remember, Jack's only modus operandi is to get his people home. You know, he's like Moses, but not Jewish. Or is he? Maybe I'm assuming.
Yeah. Oy.
But oy vey. But apparently, but he's just decided to, if this book wasn't bullshit, to suicidally intercede on the part of people actively trying to kill him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Like, I sort of, even though we joked about how retarded it was that he went back for toner in the last, well, in whatever chapter that was.
Yeah, you could two chapters ago. Yeah.
It still made sort of sense in that, like, oh, he loved her or whatever, and he went back to try and rescue her. But this doesn't make any sense. He's literally going back to try and save his enemy that was just trying to, like, was like 9 volleys off destroying his ship.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, I hope, you know, the people on there were just following orders, just like the Nazis, but they still went to prison in the Nuremberg trials, Jack.
Maybe the Nazis aren't, like, in this canon.
Maybe.
This is what happens.
Maybe that's the point in history where our timelines diverged.
Yeah.
Hitler just became a painter.
They got Hollister, we got Hitler.
Do you know that Hitler wanted to be a painter?
Yeah.
Good. It's always hard to tell with you in history.
Even I know that. It's the kind of bit of trivia, though, that, like, I wouldn't have been surprised if you'd have been like, ah, oh, that's actually not true. That's just, like, spouted by idiots.
Yeah, I can see why. It is the kind of factoid that could be apocryphal, but
probably because I knew it.
Yeah, that always makes me question it. I now do want to research it more due to the fact that you're able to quote it.
Did Julius Caesar have epilepsy?
Ooh, I think I know what you're talking about. I mean, we'll never know for sure.
Yeah,
it's possible. It is actually possible. I have heard about the stuff you're talking about.
Yeah. Did he like salads?
I don't think so.
Well, he wore them on his head.
Ba 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 ba. Laurels.
You're secretly triggered a lot now. He didn't wear salads on his head.
He didn't. He wore the laurel leaves of office. Do you know he liked to wear that a lot because he was balding and he was ashamed?
I did not.
Of his receding hairline and pate. Yeah, just Caesar facts, yo.
Yeah.
One day the history podcast, one day.
So we cut to Tiberius and his remaining fleet. It says here that, so their barriers are down to 15%. Hull breaches on decks 9 through 12. And it says that they had lost 5 ships in less than 2 minutes. So they've only got 6 ships still alive. So they had at least 11 ships in their fleet.
Yeah, which is tiny. That's a tiny amount of ships to send after the Tranquility, when it comes down to it.
I mean, I say at least, because we only know that they lost 5 in 2 minutes, so they could have lost
a lot
more. Yeah,
they could have lost more. That is true. Like, I can't remember exactly where, but I'm sure that when we did the last chapter with Tiberius, we worked out that he had, like, 7 ships or something, based on the information there.
I mean, the 6 ships that are left are Valhalla, the Eventide Gleam, Rota, Hildr, Rangard, and obviously Turmoil, which is the main ship.
Of course. Of course.
And basically he's given up, and he gives a last sort of inspirational speech to his crewmen and fleet, which goes like this. Everyone, pray to the Imperator that your souls will reach the gates of Ilmaria and be with your ancestors. We fight to the last man. These Rikari will know the price to take us all out. We will destroy their fleet and die with honour.
Really, really brings a tear to your eye, doesn't it?
Yeah. Some cried.
Pretty moving.
Some prayed. Some just went on with their duty, knowing they were going to die anyway.
That'd probably be me. I was like, why did he list out the names of the ships that were still alive? That's just so unnecessary.
I don't know. Yeah.
Where it's like, the name of one of them comes up again in this chapter. Yeah, you know, one of them has a story impact.
I think I recognise Valhalla from another chapter.
I mean, possibly. I mean, there's a lot of like Norse themed names in their fleet for some reason.
I love this bit where
I guess the Vikings are big in their timeline.
I love this bit where Emilia, she doesn't mince her words. She just says to Tiberius, "You know, I always thought you were an idiot, but I guess that's what I liked in you.
I like my men stupid and easy to manipulate, so you were perfect for me."
Their marriage had ended some time ago, but they still work together like a couple. "I guess we were just both idiots, weren't we?" Tiberius chuckled softly and sat
down.
Such
a morose chuckle.
And sat down on his command chair, ready to die.
Really moving.
Out of nowhere.
We're all so invested in Tiberius's character.
Yeah. His horrible, horrible character.
Yeah, he's like literally the worst.
But then we see the Tranquility approaching them at 0.2 light speed again.
I thought they could only travel at 1.5 under their own power.
Yeah, that's the thing, is how did they go back to them?
What do you mean?
Like, so they used their special torpedo plasma method to get away.
Mm-hmm.
Did they just use that method to get back?
I don't think so. I think they just used their engines, and he got the numbers wrong.
But yeah, because they, with their tactic of that supernova thing, they were going at 0.2 light speed,
yeah,
right? So
mm-hmm.
They must be using that tactic again if they're going at 0.2 light speed here.
I mean, that would be the implication if the number's right. That's the only way they can make it that fast.
And as you mentioned earlier, the fact that they're just like speeding towards that blinding supernova that they just made, like
how come the Rikari and Tiberius are even able to be Shrekking each other?
Yeah,
shouldn't they all still be like completely reeling from the fucking sun being made in between their fleets? You know, but yeah, I just think about that. That's just kind of occurred to me. I know when you're talking in schemes of, like, light speed, you know, anything's fast. But going from, you know, that's still, this whole making a sun is only making them move, like, another quarter as fast, you know. It's only an extra 0.05 of light speed faster.
Yeah.
You know, I can't help but think that, you know, in the scheme of ships that can move at 0.15% of the speed of light anyway, like, it's probably going to be the blinding them more than the speed that meant that they managed to get past.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like they're moving really fast and they're moving slightly really faster. Okay.
I mean, apparently their ship is a blur to the human eye as it flies past Tiberius.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Tranquility's blur seemed to do a flip and begin to form into the ship itself, as she did another trademark 180.
I mean, I'm just imagining the kind of stresses that a ship, you know, a massive ship, would be under turning on a dime at 180.
Yeah, imagine all the people on the ship.
A fraction of light speed.
What?
I would imagine that he'd have to, like, put, like, retro thrusters going, so like I don't know if he has like thrusters at the front of the ship or something as well,
yeah,
to like immediately try and slow him to a stop. He'd need thrusters on the side of the ship to like blast the back end round. But the fact that man, I'm just imagining how this could happen and the ship just doesn't snap in half, basically.
Yeah.
And just entirely shatter.
I mean, as you mentioned before, the Tranquility is overpowered massively, and that's emphasized here where it does this 180 die on a dime turn and then immediately destroys almost 20 Rikari vessels in one assault of its weapon batteries being fired. It just literally zooms in, turns around, and just destroys 20 ships in one barrage.
Yeah, and remember, I remember last week, last time, Tiberius's fleet had trouble killing a Rikari scout ship.
Yeah.
I mean, they did it, but apparently it took them forever.
Why hasn't Jack been doing this earlier when they were, like, being ramshackled by the Rikari?
Yeah, rather than being chased, why didn't it just, they just shrank them?
Yeah, and also why didn't he just shrek Tiberius's, like, 11-ship fleet?
Yeah, which was getting ruined by these guys. It's like, say, like, compare it to the start of this chapter, where, you know, oh, they're running, you know, they've nearly got us, we have to divert all our energy to our shields. Oh, it's so bad. And then here, they just turn around and, you know,
well, that's the thing. It's
entirely wreck the entire fleet.
At the beginning of the chapter, it's painted as, like, sort of the underdog that we're trying to, like, wish, like, go on, you can make it into the wormhole. You can
escape, Jack.
And yeah. And then it's like, oh, wait, it can just destroy everything. Why are we worried?
This isn't the first time that this bizarreness has happened, too. Like when the insurrectionist base was attacked, he just like, oh, no. Then he just, like, leaves a trail of destruction behind him and leaves, and it's nothing. And there's some other times where they just shreked some Rikari ships as well, like it was nothing. It's just, you know, they'll let themselves... Yeah, after they're getting chased away from Deep Space Trade Voyage Station 58, you know, they're like, oh, we're being chased by these ships, they're getting our shields out, and they just turn around and destroy them like it's nothing. It's like, why didn't you just do that to begin with? Why do you keep letting them blast your shields down before you decide to actually fucking fight back? At which point you absolutely destroy them. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, all we can say, I suppose, is that the Tranquility has consistently been incredibly inconsistent about how powerful it is throughout the story.
Yeah, so Jack puts forward the message to Tiberius to basically say... Go to the wormhole. We'll cover you while you escape.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Get your ass to the wormhole, as Jack says. Treating himself to a little smirk as the connection went down.
And then
forgetting to call evil Jack an asshole.
And then Tiberius says, "You heard me?" Classic.
Oh, it's the old alternate universe shuffle. Go at best speed. Best speed.
Yeah, Tiberius began to realise that maybe he would not have made a dent in the battleship if they had fought. Like, even he's realising how strong it actually is. And yet, what do you mean? What? Wouldn't have made a dent if they had fought. They'd taken their shield down to 45%. That's not bad.
On 50.
Yeah, but so one volley did 5%. It's not exactly like, I don't know.
Like, it's not nothing. Yeah, you know, they knew they were being shot at.
So they make their way towards the wormhole without using,
a
like...
A hastily retreat, yeah. I think you'll find.
But it's just...
Which is wrong.
I mean, like you said, how... I just love the fact that, like, they use that super ability to, like, get to this wormhole. And now it's just been completely negated by everything else in this chapter. Like, that was all for nothing. That super boost was for nothing. Because now they're just going towards the wormhole normal speed again for the second time.
Mm-hmm. Bit of a Shaggy Dog story. Yeah, we get to see how evil Tiberius is again.
Mm-hmm.
Like the second Rikari fleet, which apparently hasn't really actually been involved yet, is now trying to intercept them at the wormhole. They start firing artillery at Tiberius, and Tiberius is like, oh, I can't avoid this. But apparently he has time to decide to order the Eventide Gleam, one of those named ships that were pointlessly named earlier, to move in front of the blast, which the guy does on the ship.
Captain Joshua Lee, actually, not just the guy.
Oh, yeah, named, obviously, never going to be named again.
Yeah.
This is his one and only time in the story. Poor Joshua, bit of a doormat.
Yeah.
You know, just meekly flying to his doom.
I mean, this is obviously just like another comical display of just how evil he actually is, Tiberius.
Yeah, like...
Not Joshua.
Oh, that Joshua. He's the worst.
Maybe he was. That's the
Maybe
thing.
Maybe he was.
Because,
I don't know.
Because we've not had any sort of, like, emotion built up to this ship or the cap. Like, it would have been a more devastating moment if we had, like, you know, learnt a bit about Joshua Lee or,
if
like...
If we'd ever talked to him before.
Yeah, or...
In the story.
That ship or, you know, his relationship with Tiberius, but yeah. No, it's just like, oh, okay, I don't really care that generic ship got destroyed.
Yeah, it's like, you know, because we did keep flashing back to Tiberius at points throughout the story. You know, you could have mentioned the Eventide Gleam and Captain Joshua Lee, like, doing things for Tiberius, like reporting back, you know. You could have him, like, be competent, you know, at getting stuff done.
Maybe some backstory of, like, they used to be, like, they were the original in the fleet or something, and...
Yeah, like, that's the, you don't even... To kind of make this work even a little bit, you don't even need that. You almost just need to mention them doing things, just like have Tiberius be like, send Joshua Lee on the Eventide Gleam to do it, you know. He gets pretty good results or whatever.
Yeah.
Just, you know, not even, you know, it could be so offhand and like, but it'd still be enough setup that you'd be like, wow, he's such a dick. That's Joshua, you know. He's been running Tiberius's errands for like the whole book, and he just like, you know, meekly dies when ordered to. It's like, damn, what a shitbag. But nope, a nobody dying a nobody's death.
Yeah, and Tiberius really doesn't care. Like, he just wafts his hand, asks how many were on that vessel, and he says, "Does it matter? They are not our problem now."
Now, again, it's just so Saturday morning cartoon villainy for no reason. Like, the thing is, you could still have him be sort of like a utilitarian ends justify the means guy without him being a cartoon. You know, you could have him be like, you know, that's not our problem now. I'd rather not think about it. Yeah, you know, there are ways you can frame that sentiment just being like, you know, that they had to die for the flagship to carry on. You know, it sucks, but how many people died? Does it matter? There's 10 times as many people on the Turmoil or something like that. You know, you'd still be like, damn son, that's cold, but you'd be like, but yeah, you're not a cartoon, you know, that does make sense in its twisted way. Even though you were coldly ordering a man to his death, you can kind of see it. You can actually, you know, try and humanize your evil enemies a bit. It does kind of work in stories to make even the bad guys relatable to a degree. But what do I know? I haven't written a book, I guess.
So, yeah, after that play of the game intercept from the Eventide Gleam, they make it through the wormhole, along with the Tranquility, closely followed. And then Jack and Tiberius exchange words, possibly one of the best, like, interactions, I think, where Tiberius is being quite earnest in his, he's basically thanking Jack for sparing them and helping them, and I love this, I just want to read out this bit where Jack points out the bleeding obvious. Jack asks Tiberius, well, thank you, Captain. He asked his name of his evil twin, who replied with the full-length title. Captain Tiberius Jack Hunter, captain of the Amaran Defence Fleet ITF Turmoil. Jack could not help but question the irony of the cosmos. His own name was Jack Tiberius Hunter, named after his great-uncle Tiberius Hunter. He also knitted the inverse of the ship's names. His tranquility, meaning peace and serenity, yet Tiberius was turmoil, a term for war and unease. Like, I just love how, yeah, we know, like, how fucking dumb do you think the reader is?
Yeah, you know, just...
Like, hang on, Jack Tiberius Hunter and Tiberius Jack Hunter?
Oh my god, it's deepest pottery, Louis.
And like,
it rhymes.
That bit about the ship names, like, tranquility, meaning peace and serenity. I like how serenity is capitalized, capital S.
Yeah.
The ship could have been called Serenity.
It's been done.
Yeah. Yet Tiberius's was turmoil, a term for war and unease. Unease.
Oh. It's just so on the nose.
Yeah. The fact that it actually, like, it's so on the nose without...
It just outright says it.
Even without the explanation, it's so on the nose. But then with the explanation, it's just like...
Yeah, it's just like, what the... Yeah, like I said, it's like, what do you think of us? I mean, in a way, like, I could see a character in universe noting the irony, but there's just something about the way that's delivered that's just face-palming, like, yes, we know.
I also feel
we've
like,
been reading the fucking book.
I feel like there's... This bit of the chapter, the end, by the way, just sort of, like, peters out in a really weird way. Mm. Like, they've just gone through this thing together or whatever, and it just sort of says, like, well, Captain Hunter, I'm Captain Jack Hunter, and I guess in our next engagement we will have to have a deeper chat. I think we will, Tiberius replied. That's it. Like, what?
Hail the Imperator.
Why have they just suddenly, like, is that how this is going to end?
I guess.
After all that, like, oh, I guess, bye then. Okay, yeah, see ya. That's, like, literally what's happened.
By a doppelganger who does still want to kill me and capture my ship.
Yeah.
I guess, catch you later.
Should we talk more about how you're my exact double? Nah. See ya.
Yeah. You know, have you maybe considered, you know, rebelling against this evil emperor that you clearly hate? And, you know, maybe joining me? You know, we could work together instead. You know, we have options. But no, just... Like, the entire point of this plan was for him to try and, like, turn the rest of Tiberius's ships, wasn't it? That was, like, his stated goal. He's like, maybe the other people on the ships will realise we're not so bad. They're just being led by a tyrannical idiot.
Yeah.
So why not try and, like, hit up the other captains, like, send something out to the whole fleet?
Yeah, I wonder what the other fleet...
Or something like that.
Like, they're having this chit-chat. Just like the rest of the fleet are just sitting there like...
Just like, what the fuck is going on? We were sent here to capture this ship. We've ended up fighting aliens, which until now we didn't know existed. You know, like, it's as far as we can tell, there's no other, like, sentient spacefaring race in the universe that anyone's ever come across. They're like, we've discovered aliens exist and they're trying to kill us. We then got saved by the ship that we're trying to capture. And now we're just sitting next to it, talking to it. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? Today's been confusing.
But yet then... The last part of the chapter, as you mentioned at the start, is this sort of almost unnecessary, but I guess got to keep that tension going of like, oh, the Rikari, they're still on the other side, remember? Don't forget, they could come through. Yeah? They're not going to for some reason right now, but they could at some point.
A pedantic point here. Is it a fleet action if you're the only ship? Can you be a fleet of one ships?
No.
I don't think you can. And also, bullshit, that's their first fleet action. What about the other times they've shreked a load of Rikari?
Yeah.
What about when they broke out of the insurrectionist base? What about when they've destroyed the rest of the insurrectionist armada?
Yeah.
A few chapters ago.
All the shit they've done ever since becoming a combat ship.
But nope, First Fleet action.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so basically that's how the chapter ends, this threat of the Rikari, and the Tranquility goes off to a nebula or some shit like that and starts repairing after that fight, while watching the Ilmarian fleet flee back to Ilmarian space.
I don't know why Tiberius didn't at least leave one of his ships there to watch Jack. Because it seems like Jack isn't going to just destroy them.
Because he is an idiot.
Yeah, because he is an idiot. It's like, but what would Jack do if Tiberius is just like, well, I mean, he literally saved all of your lives for no reason. Like, just wait here, keep an eye on him,
yeah.
Keep in radio contact. I mean, it's not, and if they do get destroyed, it's not like Tiberius is shy about wasting his men mm-hmm. on, like, ridiculous military ventures. So I literally see no downside for Tiberius just being like, just, in fact, even if he didn't want to explicitly do it, like, as soon as they were out of whatever, like, sensor bloom range or whatever the fuck they use is to just like, okay, you there, little ship, you turn around and, you know, try and be stealthy and follow the Tranquility so we don't have to start looking for them literally anywhere in the universe again when this starts again.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I know that I kind of mentioned it in my preamble at the beginning about the chapter, but Jesus Christ, the fucking time thing with the Rikari. It's like, they still had centuries to mass an army before coming through the wormhole. Time was irrelevant. They had none. Any moment the Rikari could be here, and they had thousands of cycles to prepare the invasion. What the fuck is up with the time? With the time on that wormhole? Like, it doesn't seem to be... There seems to be no relation between the time going in and the time coming out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not going to get bogged down into it because I explained how preposterous it is that Tiberius was coming through at that exact moment on the other end and how long it meant everything is. And, like, the fact that they're coming back in the present despite the fact they were in the other world. Wait, no, that does kind of make sense, but it doesn't make sense that they were only waiting for, like, a minute for Jack when, you know, Jack must have been, you know, at least a couple of minutes behind them while he was holding it off, which you would have thought would have transpired into a significantly longer time given. I don't fucking know. None of it makes any sense. However you try and piece it together to make sense in one direction, it fucks up another way in which the timeline works when going back and forth through it. It is just, you know, time travel is always fucking messy in stories, you know, but people usually at least make a cursory effort to at least give it some consistent fucking rules. Even if they don't make sense, they at least make up a rule of thumb so you know how it's supposed to work. No, just exactly as the plot requires it, the Rikari will have had exactly that long to amass men, and they'll turn up exactly when the plot requires them to. And whatever, I guess we just have to deal with that.
Yep.
I'm done. Any other thoughts on the chapter, Louis?
No, I think that's enough.
That's more than enough. Anyway, oh geez, man, I'm parched from madness at time travel. We have been Two Absolute Bookends. You follow our social media on Twitter, Two Abs Bookends. Even though there's been fuck all updates because we haven't recorded in about 2 months for various reasons, Louis.
Yeah.
Anyway, we will see you next time for chapter 24. The dog reports to the master. Ooh, spicy. Anyway, see ya.
See ya.